You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Broadcasting from Orlando, Florida for the first time in my life. Actually, I'm in Kissimmee, Florida, I think. Yeah, which is about 15 miles from Orlando, where I'll speak here in a few hours. So yeah, my first trip to Florida, other than just bopping through it, a stop at an airport. So yeah, flew over Florida. Orlando in the central part of the state, and Florida looks wet, man. And got off the plane, it was raining. But pretty uneventful day. Flew out of Los Angeles International Airport, which I don't do very often. And but in this case, had to, because booked a flight a little bit later. And they have non-stops, which is not a bad thing. So anyway, went to a different parking lot, long-term parking at LAX, and pretty nice, actually. It's called The Parking Spot. They have them all over the country, but actually I was impressed with it. And so did that, and pre-TSA, that's a ticket, man, not going to lie to you. Pretty interesting in the airport because of the whole coronavirus thing, the number of people that have masks on. And, yeah, pretty interesting to watch all that. So, anyhow, and you wonder, like, any of these people infected? So it is kind of weird traveling. And, so I hadn't seen that before. And then, get on the plane, and there's a lady sitting next to me. And she's probably in her, I'd say late 70s, close to 80. And she's from Hungary and lived in the United States since the early 60s. And she's a neurologist. And so she saw me working, and she said, "Do you mind if I ask you what you're doing? What is this you're working on?" So she had me, she wanted to know, she wanted to hear about post-traumatic winning. So I gave her a little hip pocket class, and we had a pretty interesting conversation about it. And so we landed, and, you know, I was sitting in like row 32. But again, you can imagine LAX to Orlando. The plane was an Airbus. It was the biggest Airbus plane they have, right? Six seats, right? And wide airplane. So anyway, six seats across and pretty wide. So anyway, we're in like row 32, so it takes, you know, forever for everybody to get off the plane. So we're sitting there talking, and I don't know why I brought it up, or, oh, I know what she said. She said that she lived in D.C. for a while, and the place that she lived, and the place that she lived looked out on the Iwo Jima Memorial. So then we started talking about the Iwo Jima Memorial and the rename, you know, the re-identification of the guys in it, and you know, just how odd that is. Not only the guys who were in it weren't, but the guys who weren't in it never said a word. And we're talking about that and human nature and you know, the Greatest Generation and all of that. And so we're sitting there talking, and then she said, you know, my husband, and oh, I started talking about Vietnam veterans. And I think she said, thank you, you know, for your service or something like that. And I said, well, thank you, but you don't have to thank me. I said, you know, there's a documentary, and that I don't know how Ken Rogers' documentary came up. And then she looked at me and she said, my husband was a doctor, and he served at a place called Khe Sanh. And I was like, what? I said, he was in Vietnam in 1968? She said, yeah. I said, was he a surgeon? She said, he was an anesthesiologist. And I said, at Khe Sanh, he was a Navy doctor. She said, yes. And then she said, and then he went to a place called, and she kind of looked at, in the air, she went, Phu Bai? I was like, oh my God. He was at every shithole known to man. And she said, yeah, they, you know, he came home and, you know, they never talked about it. And so, and it was just, I said, oh my God. And so we were chatting about that. But like, I mean, yeah, he was at a place called Khe Sanh. I was like, that's like Valhalla, for God's sakes. So pretty interesting. So then we walked down the luggage rack together. Just a very, very nice plane ride. I didn't even get her name. For whatever reason, between my ears being bad and the ambient noise of the engine and her voice being soft, I could understand about half of what she said. And you know, when you can't hear, you don't stop people. You just kind of go, oh yeah, you know, for the most part, you can kind of fake it. And I was kind of embarrassed to keep saying, pardon me? So I didn't. And anyway, but I had a really nice flight. And then I'm really excited for tomorrow to be able to go. This is the Key Spouses program for the Air Force. And the people coming up from all over the country. And the wife of the Air Force Chief of Staff, her name is Dawn Goldfein. She extended an invitation to me to come down here and speak. So that's exciting. And so do that tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern time. I mean, sorry, I do it today at 1 o'clock Eastern time. The other exciting news is heading to Hawaii at the end of March. And so the Air Force Pacific Command offered it to the Navy and the Coast Guard at Pearl Harbor. And they said the Navy jumped on it right away. Not sure if the Marines are going to want to be a part of it, but we've offered it to everybody. And so so I was excited. Right. Somebody knows somebody's doing good things with it. So go out and speak to the Air Force. They have a commander's course that'll be there. And I'm going to go hang out in it one day and then speak the next. So I'm excited to do that. And then speak to the Navy, which I've never done. So I'm excited about that. And go to Pearl Harbor. I'm excited about that. And even hang out with the Coasties. So post-traumatic wedding keep blowing up. So that's exciting. That's exciting. So big stuff on the horizon. I don't have the coronavirus thing out of my head either. You know, one of the things that I was thinking, you know, in addition to the things I said yesterday, which I mean every bit of it, it's just stupid. Now, they've been sitting around for, what, a month watching this? And this is that's as good as you could come up with. And that didn't hit me till I got off the air. I'm like, wait a minute. It's not like this thing started like 4 days ago. They've had a month to think of their response and where they're going to send people and the flow of people. Well, we'll receive them here. We'll do the initial testing here. We can keep them quarantined here in this facility. And then where do we send them? Well, let's send them to the Los Angeles, Orange County area. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's just, I mean, honestly, it's just stupid. And I mean, it gets stupider when you think of it in that context. That you had weeks to think about the flow of people, right? So we want them to go from a military installation to where? An urban center? No. How about another military installation in a sparsely part of the country? And we can get FEMA trailers. We can, you know, we can do whatever we need to do. You know, we can bring in, you know, cooks to prepare meals and make sure they're well taken care of. Okay, but, you know, I don't, like, how do we get to the point where, you know, we're going to bring these people in any shape, way, shape, or form near a major metropolitan area? And you had, you know, over a month, and this is your solution. It really irritated me the more when I started thinking about that. Right. I mean, just stupid. Absolutely, positively stupid. And the people that thought that up, they should have their asses fired. Right. And get people that can think a problem through, and then not only think it through, but the state, right, and the county people who are going to be impacted by it, they ought to be in the planning process too. Okay, all right, here's what we're going to do, right? Grand Forks Air Force Base, you used to have 20,000 airmen up there. You have 4,000 people up there now. These barracks, we're going to put fences around them, and we're going to bring these people. We need the cable TV turned on. We're going to have medical people living here. We need caterers from the city, and that'll go on, you know, that's going to be taken care of it, you know, this way. But they'll be flown into the Air Force base, and the fence around the compound is going to be pretty big so they can get out and exercise and, you know, and whatnot. And they should be there for 2 to 3 weeks. And we see this lasting for a while. Okay. So it'll be an enduring mission for a while till this stops. Okay. Got it? Yeah, we got it. So, I mean, and again, Grand Forks, and that's like true. I don't know if there was 20,000 airmen up there, but there was a couple of bomber wings up there. And then they went down to one refueling squadron, and then that squadron left, and now they have some, they'd fly drones out of there. And the reason why they do that is because the two Democratic senators had pretty, you know, the thing about you know, states like North Dakota, Montana, you get elected as a senator, you stay there for a long time. They tend not to vote you out. And so that means you get really good committee assignments as you slowly but surely you work your way up the seniority ladder. And they did. One of them chaired the budget committee. And the one of them chaired a different committee. You know, Byron Dorgan was one, and Kent Conrad was the other. And they flexed their muscles as chairman of committees when the BRAC thing was happening. And so that base was supposed to be shut down, but it's open still. But anyway, I digress. My point is this: there should be a flow of how we take care of people, and why wouldn't you utilize military installations? Why would you put them near people? Yeah, hey, look, and I'm sorry that you got the coronavirus, but not my fault. My responsibility is to the people that don't have it, right? My responsibility to you is get you good medical care. And if this is inconvenient for you and you don't like it, I'm sorry. Okay? But this has a chance to be a really bad thing, and we're not going to allow that to happen. So you're going to go up to Grand Forks, North Dakota, and you're going to spend some time up there, right? Or pick a base, right? But it's going to be a sparsely, you know, populated area. And you're going to be well taken care of. and you're gonna knock out a month there. And you know, we'll have to do tests on you and things like that. And you, I know you'll understand, but that's the way it is. So the city and the county officials should be, you know, they should be in on it. Hey, this is what's going to happen. This is how, you know, we're going to make sure that they don't have contact with the population. And then when they're finally found to have no trace of the coronavirus, right, they'll be flown, not on commercial, but they'll be flown in military aircraft back to, you know, their homes. That's how we'll do that. We'll fly into a military installation near there, and we'll arrange transportation for them to go home. So, there should be a plan. And you look at it, it's amateurish. And then you have the, you know, federal officials saying, oh, county and city people, they don't have any right to push back against us. They have a responsibility to push back against you idiots. And that's what the judge said. You have a responsibility to tell them what the plan is and how you're going to mitigate this. So I'm still not over that. I mean, it's the stupidity of Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, come to the United States. And what, everybody's going to sit there and go, oh, okay, let's do it, right? And then nobody will say a word, right, until this shit gets into the homeless population that's living on the street. And then we're stacking them up like cordwood. And they're not going to be quarantined, right? They're going to run away, and they're going to spread it all over the place, right? And then, oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, all right. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this Thursday official. So, good morning to you. This is dedicated to the lady I sat next to on the plane. I don't really know her name, but she was just a wonderful woman and just as nice to be. So to the Hungarian lady who was on the plane with me today, what a wonderful person. What a wonderful person. This is dedicated to her.
Our flag comes first to bear. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
It is time to check the weather here in Marineland. Now, mind you, it's a little bit earlier than you would normally hear these temperatures, so I don't want anybody to panic when you hear these, okay? So everybody just stay in your seats, and we'll get through this, okay? So, yeah, it's about 6 hours before you would normally hear that. East Coast time, and then earlier, because through the magic of digital media, this isn't live. I know, it sucks, but such is live. All right. Currently, it is dark, cloudy, 40 degrees in Quantico. Dark, clear, and 47 at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune. In 29 Palms, it is pretty warm. It is dark, clear, and 47. Camp Pendleton is dark, clear, and 50. So these would be overnight lows, or pretty close to it. At Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, and 69 degrees. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, 64. And then in the afternoon, in Afghanistan. It is mostly sunny and 76. Beautiful day in the Helmand province of Afghanistan. And in Ramadi, in the provincial in Al Anbar, in Iraq, in the provincial capital of Ramadi, it is sunny and 66 this afternoon. So there's a little bit of a different look at your weather here on a Thursday morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines as we get going here on a Thursday edition. Not get going, as we continue here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it. That's right. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start. All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders, that's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the ache of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere so I can finally cry.
Peyton Davis here on a Thursday morning. She's headed to Europe doing a little traveling and gonna perform on some bases over there. Song is called Hurt. You could buy it on any music outlet you want to. Peyton Davis. All right, to the news we go. And I'm not going to dominate a little bit by the coronavirus. Yeah, go figure. So we'll talk about that. So top headlines in Stars and Stripes. U.S. bases in Japan hold town halls, cancel events over coronavirus concerns. So yeah, it's going around. The question will be, how long do schools continue to operate before we stop sending kids to school? And I will tell you that is probably not too far off. When the first school, you know, children are affected, you're gonna have to suspend classes. So anyway, authorities at U.S. military bases across Japan are taking steps to reduce the likelihood of coronavirus finds its way to those installations, including stocking up on masks and hand sanitizer. Rumor control is part of that effort. A town hall meeting Wednesday evening at Camp Zama, home of the U.S. Army's Japan headquarters. One man asked whether dependents should be evacuated. Yeah, so that's where we're at. The answer, no. And that was from Major General Viet Zhao Long. He's the head of U.S. Army Japan. He told a packed ballroom of service members, yeah, normally when you have a town hall, you got to make sure people show up so it doesn't look bad. Not so in this case. Not so in this case. Interestingly enough, right, you've read about, in fact, the Secretary of Defense signed the Tenet Bill of Rights. Yeah. And so let me get to that. It's almost like there's been like a charm offensive lately. Oh, Defense Secretary signs Tenet Bill of Rights for military families. The Tenet Bill of Rights isn't perfect, but it's progress, Shannon Radsanin, Executive Director of the Military Family Advisory Network, said in a statement. This is a step towards accountability and rebuilding the trust that has eroded around the issue. So the question is, if it's not what they want, right, why didn't they get what they want? The Defense Department's top officials signed a tenant bill of rights Tuesday that includes 15 of 18 rights Congress mandated all military families have while living in privatized military housing, according to a news release. The document takes effect May 1st and offers rights to the roughly 10% of military service members and their families who live on bases. Talked about the need for the Bill of Rights. Yeah, member political people making, you know, boilerplate statements. I want to see what didn't make it. Three of the rights that were mandated by Congress were not included in the Bill of Rights signed Tuesday. But the document states that the department will continue to work with private companies as necessary and Congress to ensure the benefits of these rights are fully available. They are the right to access maintenance history, a process for dispute resolution, and withhold. You got to be kidding me. These are like the most important things, right? That you could see the history of the property, the maintenance history of the property. Why can't you see that? A process for dispute resolution? That's not in there. And one of the most fundamental ones was withholding rent until the dispute was resolved. I have to tell you, man. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. Talk about a joke, in my opinion, right? That is, if you can't put leverage on them as a tenant, if you don't have the right to see the history of the property, and if there is no process for dispute resolution, so now what? I move in, I don't know the history of the property, right? I have a complaint. I have to go begging people. I have to go beg the command. Could you get involved in this? Because there is no process to resolve it. So I guess we're all on our own again. And I can't withhold my payment. So I have to tell you, clown show. The same day that was announced, right? The Army requests millions to fix homes for high-ranking officers in the Washington, D.C. area. Oh, millions. How about this? Nobody gets fixed until all the complaints are dealt with below your rank. How about that one? Right? That we got it. We'll take it for action. But until, right, these complaints that we're dealing with junior enlisted service members are taken care of, nobody above the rank of first lieutenant gets their house fixed. All right? How about that, boys and girls? Yeah, boom. Next story. I have to tell you, man, I can't tell you how disappointing that is. U.S. general and an Afghan official take selfies in a demonstration of peace. Army General Scott Miller meets with civilians on the streets of Kabul, Afghanistan on Wednesday, February 26th, that would be yesterday, amid a 7-day reduction in violence agreement between the United States and the Taliban. Taking selfies in Kabul as a demonstration. Yeah, let me tell you, man, that that would make me nervous, right? Army General Scott Miller greeted shopkeepers, children, and Afghan security forces, taking scores of selfies over the span of a couple hours without wearing a helmet or body armor. He was accompanied by Afghan's acting defense minister, Asadullah Khalid, who hugged fellow Afghans and posed for photographs. In a rare move, the two men hopped out of an armored sport utility vehicle in several locations, including an indoor shopping mall and an outdoor strip of stores surrounded by tall buildings with several U.S. Special Operations soldiers on Miller's security team. When you see the Minister of Defense out walking, that actually matters, Miller said in a brief interview on the city street. I think that's really the key piece. And what they really wanted was, right, the photo opportunity. So that's what they wanted, was to get that photo out there. And Tim Lynch, Jeff Kinney, and I are going to talk about that. So Tim, you know, he's going to tell you that he believes that this is going to happen. That the Taliban don't want to fight anymore, and they really want the United States out of there, and they see that you know, that the only way is to do this. So we shall see. So we'll talk about that in the next hour. From the United States Navy, Saudi military students to resume U.S. flight training. Okay, so that flight training has been put on hold after a Saudi officer down at Pensacola killed three members of the United States military. So anyway, the United States will resume that training. And let me tell you, that training's important for, you know, what we do around the world. It's one of the things we offer our allies. Right? Secretary Esper to pitch a $705 billion budget to go toe-to-toe with China, Russia, amid possible clash with Congress over border wall. So let me break that down for you. In the democratically controlled House, the Secretary of Defense is going to get the wood laid to him, right? And they're going to take it out of his ass for taking money that was appropriated for other things like shipbuilding, right, and doing the president's bidding. He will get hammered for that. He'll get hammered for that in the Senate, but at the end of the day, the Senate has the votes to push the budget through. The House will not. And then what will happen is they will have to wrangle about it in some kind of conference committee, and we'll see what happens in an election year. Don't get your hopes up there, boys and girls. Don't get your hopes up, because that's not the way it works. But, you know, you don't see that too often, right? And Secretary of Defense, last comment I saw him made to that was he said, you know, national security starts first at our borders. And so I believe this, he made a comment to the effect that, I believe that the walls that are being created are part of our national security. And therefore, I think it entirely appropriate that Department of Defense funding be used. So he's going to pay. Trust me, he will pay for that. And then, you know, Alex Hollings has made us smart about clickbait, right? Everybody's got it. And here's a headline. Department of Defense education principal lambasted over dress code and is reassigned during an investigation. The principal of a middle school on Okinawa, right, Marine Corps base Camp Foster, has been temporarily removed from her post while the Department of Defense education activity investigates some unspecified allegations. Ryukyu Middle School, right? Ryukyu is a chain of islands that Okinawa is a part of. Principal Lee Ann Mick was assigned to an alternate work location while DODEA determines the facts of the matter. Let's see. Parents filed a complaint January 10th with the Department of Education Office of Civil Rights that alleged that the Kadena Air Base School imposed an outdated dress code and discriminated against female students. What are the allegations? Krista Crax, a Philadelphia area attorney who represented six parents in the DODEA complaint, said new allegations of bullying and gender discrimination have been leveled against the administrator, and then an investigation is being done. Mick, who previously served as vice principal, took over in the 2019-2020 school year, so just this last fall, and instituted a dress policy called Dress for Success, according to the complaint. Mick and staff, under her direction, removed girls from class for attire their parents felt was appropriate, it said. Girls were singled out for wearing loose athletic pants with no zipper, while boys were permitted to wear basketball shorts, according to the complaint. Girls were also criticized for shirts that weren't long enough and showing their collarbones. Girls were judged by a variety of administrators and teachers, subjected to comments from Mick and others, and were sometimes forced to change into oversized lost and found items, all without parental notification, the complaint said. Some of the girls said they were afraid to go to school because they feared being targeted by Mick. Yeah, there you go. They went around, want to run around dressed like little bandits, then that's their right. That's their right. Headline in Marine Corps Times. First female infantry officer leaves the Corps as the commandant calls for more women at the infantry officer course. So the commandant's on a social, right? He's got a social media thing. He's got a social wellness barometer out, right? South Korea and the United States postpone annual military drills. You've already heard that. Yeah, the Tenet Bill of Rights, there's another article here, I have to tell you, is really disappointing. Really disappointing and not surprising, to be honest with you. You know, one of the things that's been most disappointing is that you saw senators, and I'll be curious to see when this goes in front of the Senate Armed Service Committee, because you have Elizabeth Warren, who just raised holy hell, right? She raised holy hell about, you know, military people just having the basic rights that other people have. And she wanted these contracts that were signed with private housing companies. She wanted them made public. And none of that's happened, right? And the strategy by the housing companies has been the same year after year, and that is this. That is, go to ground, right? Let this explosion go. It will be overcome by other events. Yeah, it'll become by other events. And then, right, we'll negotiate our way out of most of the most, you know, the worst stuff. That's the way this thing goes. And it's sad. It's sad. I'm honestly shocked. I am shocked that those three things, right? Being able to, that you can't see the history of the property. There is no dispute resolution mechanism, and that you can't withhold rent. That means there's no, they don't have to be accountable for what they've done in the past and let somebody see that, right? And then there is no pressure on them, right? They get their money every month. So if they say you're full of it and they don't want to do it, then what do you have? You know, you go to the base. Well, they've been really proactive in this whole thing. Here's another article by Megan Myers. Pentagon leaders taken to task for funding of the border wall. Now, this is I talked about this a minute ago, but here's a little sample about this. Senators and members of Congress from both sides of the aisle expressed dismay that Defense Secretary Esper would sidestep Congress's will by reprogramming money designated for counter-drug operations and military construction projects to pay for the Army Corps of Engineers to build hundreds of miles of wall. This is very different, Representative Mac Thornberry, who's a Republican, the House Armed Service Committee's ranking minority member, said, "This is not taking excess funds. This is substituting the judgment of the department and actually the administration. I think my opinion is this is not totally at the discretion of the secretary. It is substituting the judgment of the administration for the judgment of Congress." Now, Congress is power, and if you look at this and say, you know, it's similar to the War Powers Act, Congress is power, is the power of the purse strings. They cannot fund something. That's their power. Okay, so Congress funds the Pentagon and all these programs, but doesn't, let's say, fund contingency operations. And then the Secretary of Defense says, yeah, I'll fund them out of Hyatt. I don't think that's the way the founders set it up. I think that is a usurpation of the way our government's supposed to operate. This is Trent Kelly, Republican, Mississippi. Quote, I think we risk a whole lot with a $3.8 billion reprogram to fund the border wall without consulting the Congress. He goes on, I'm supportive of the president's policy on the border, but we have to be careful about how we reprogram. This is Dick Durbin, right? He's a Democratic senator. Every dollar diverted from our men and women in uniform for President Trump's big, beautiful border wall was appropriated by Congress to address a need identified by our military. This latest reprogramming was not just an attack on Congress's power of the purse, it was an attack on military readiness. Let me tell you, I don't often agree with Dick Durbin, but I think he's got a point there. If Republicans go along with turning the Pentagon into a presidential piggy bank, it will weaken the national defense now and in the future and set a precedent that can't be undone, said Jack Reed. He's the senior Democrat on the Senate Armed Service Committee. President Trump is taking billions from military equipment and platforms and diverting it into an ineffective fence because he failed to get Mexico to pay for it. It's an insult to our troops and a misuse of needed defense funds. But I don't think that Reed's, you know, Reed doesn't make the most important point. It is the usurpation of Congress's power of the purse. So, yeah, I'll tell you what, that'll be a very, very interesting, very, very interesting issue. And again, it's interesting because it gets to the core of what Congress does. And that, you know, a service secretary or any cabinet head can say, yeah, sorry, I hear what you're saying, Congress, but I'm not going for it. That's not the way the government's supposed to work in the United States anyway. Yeah, and I mean, again, and I think that wall should be built. But, like, we have a system in this country, and it's been pretty effective for a long time. So, interesting. Top five stories in early bird. Number one, American soldier stationed in South Korea is the first member to test positive for the coronavirus. Number two, a school's closed, events canceled overseas. We talked about that. Three, Taliban attacks down significantly as reduction in violence deal appears to hold. Number four, first female infantry officer leaves the Marine Corps and the commandant calls for more women at the infantry officer course. Yeah. Maternity leave. He's been all over it this week. Number five, the Navy's investigation into Vice Admiral Scott Sterney's suicide. Yeah. You know, I read some of that yesterday. And let me tell you, I mean, you know, it's interesting. Today when I speak, I'm going to speak to, you know, this is key spouse training for key spouses in the Air Force. And, you know, one of the things I say is, hey, this is training is just as much for you as anybody else. Right? And don't act like you're not affected because we all know the truth. So pay attention. You know, here you had an admiral, the head of the Fifth Fleet, right? Who hung himself. His wife said that he was the strongest person she knew. So, anyway, I would recommend, it's in, that article's in Navy Times, and I want to see who wrote it. My guess is Jeff Zazulowicz wrote it, and Jeff Zazulowicz did write it. See, I'm clairvoyant at times. Yeah. All right, let me just see if there's anything else I want to, yeah, you spell his name Stearney, Steareny. He was a vice admiral, which means he's a 3-star. Okay? So that in the news today. Let me just see if there's anything under overseas operations. AFRICOM airstrike takes out al-Shabaab leader behind the Manda Bay attack, which killed 3 Americans. Somali officials say U.S. airstrike kills a telecom worker. U.S. forces in Afghanistan strike ISIS during the partial truce with the Taliban. UCOM calls for 2 more ships for Spanish port. NATO has a growing realization about risk of using Huawei gear, according to a top American general. U.S. military braces for base lockdowns in Germany as the coronavirus spreads, and U.S. forces in Japan elevate health protection conditions amid growing coronavirus concern. Yeah, I saw a I saw an article someplace in my news feed talking about about a school district that had already decided that for the not too distant future, they will home, kids will be schooled at home, that assignments will be done at home, teachers will get on, you know, networks and teach classes, but they will not gather physically. And I wish I could remember where it was, but I don't. But yeah, I mean, that's coming. That's coming. I mean, if this thing comes and continues to multiply, it's coming. Now, again, really interesting story about how this thing got started, right? The only level 4 biological lab that the PLA has in China is in the city of Wuhan. And, you know, there's a theory going around that this virus came from that lab, that it was workers there that probably didn't know the animal was infected with it, selling animals that they were supposed to incinerate on the black market to make extra money. China, exactly. China, damn it. All right, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio. Jeff Kenney and Tim Lynch coming up next on this Thursday morning. And we're going to talk about Afghanistan a little bit. We'll talk about Iwo Jima a little bit, so don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.